This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Happy December, whether you're a non-believer or a heathen or just plain indifferent. And if you're a believer, we're glad you're listening and welcome to our Free Thought Show. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio featuring slightly irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. There's only 19 more shopping days until the winter solstice. Today is the December 3rd, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. This show broadcasts in Madison, Wisconsin.
Free Thought Radio also broadcasts in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, New York, and is also a podcast.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And of course, we are for freedom of religion, but as Ann Gaylor, one of the founders of our group, says, you can't have religious freedom if you don't have the freedom to dissent.
And we're the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics and other freethinkers, and we also work diligently as a state church watchdog to keep religion out of government, as is required by our secular and entirely godless constitution.
Our guest on the second half of today's show will be Jamila Bey. You may have caught the main feature story in the Sunday Style section of the New York Times, and that was pretty exciting. When was that? Just this past weekend. It was devoted to African-American unbelievers, including Jamila Bey, and we're pleased that she will be joining us later on today's show.
And as usual, we're going to go right to the news portion, and there is a lot. And first, on the national level, the religious right is having a fit because of President Obama's Thanksgiving address, and it was as American as apple pie.
But no matter how tough things are right now, we still give thanks for that most American of blessings, the chance to determine our own destiny. The problems we face didn't develop overnight, and we won't solve them overnight, but we will solve them.
So this address was apparently blasphemous because it didn't mention the G-O-D word.
So naturally, Fox News went ballistic over this issue.
President Obama ruffled quite a few feathers on Turkey Day.
Leaving God out of Thanksgiving?
He left God out of his Thanksgiving Day address.
Was that a religious slight or an oversight?
He's a product of the secular left.
Forget about his personal beliefs. He represents the United States.
Someone should remind him the pilgrims came over here to celebrate and to be able to have religious freedom and the ability to worship God, right?
Hey, I have an ancestor who came over on the Mayflower, and he wasn't a pilgrim. He was an apprentice, George Soule.
George Soule. And remember that old joke that the pilgrims loved religious freedom so much. The Puritans loved religious freedom so much that they kept it all to themselves.
Yep, so I guess, Fox, we want to go back to the Puritan days.
So let's give thanks where thanks is due, which is to human beings who have made this world a better place, and send a thank you to Barack Obama for delivering a Thanksgiving address that was truly inclusive. FFRF's winter solstice sign is back up in the Wisconsin State Capitol. It's on the first floor rotunda, and we try to keep it right by the bust of Robert La Follette.
Yes, he keeps a watchful eye on our sign. And for those not familiar with the State Capitol, if you want to go and tour it, we say it's on the first floor, that really means, in most people's view, the second floor. It's not on the ground floor. And we place it there as a protest because the State Capitol becomes a virtual religion machine, a public forum for religion in December. So if religion is going to be there in the State Capitol, then there's going to be something representing the non-theistic take.
And there's a difference between free speech and government speech. Our sign in the public forum is our own private free speech. Our sign says, at this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds.
So that was the words of Ann Gaylor, the principal founder of FFRF. And a similar sign is going up Monday in the Mississippi State Capitol to counter religion there, by the way.
In other news, the New York Times ran a big story about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's complaint over the Jesus Shrine on federal land in Montana. They ran the story a week ago Friday on November the 25th. Although the article noted that FFRF has received lots of threatening mail from Montana, this didn't stop the crank mailers and emailers from sending even more nasty remarks, warning FFRF and other non-believers to stay out of Montana.
And we also had a complaint that with the police over one of the emails from that story. In developments related to the Montana abuse, we sent a letter to the U.S. Forest Service, again, pointing out why the shrine renewal should be snowballed. This is a special permit lease to the Knights of Columbus that they've had for 60 years gratis. And we pointed out that the criteria for letting something be on public land specifically bars properties owned by religious institutions or used for religious purposes. So we think case closed.
So we say it should be snowballed because it sits right on a ski slope there. We also pointed out that Jesus was not a veteran, that designating the shrine post-complaint as a war memorial is phony. And it's insulting to all non-Christian veterans.
So if you haven't made a comment during this period of public comment by the U.S. Forest Service, which is going to end December 8th, please do so. Just takes a moment. Go to ffrf.org/news and you can find one of several news releases containing the official link to the U.S. Forest Service. It's too complicated to say over the air.
There's been plenty of other coverage by media about the Montana complaint, including a national AP story which quotes you, Annie Laurie, saying that FFRF opposes a shrine to Jesus on public land as an inappropriate public handout to the church.
Yes, I was quoted pointing out that the Roman Catholic Church is one of the wealthiest institutions in the world. Why do they have to co-opt some of our wilderness for their advertisement?
Now, closer to home, Madison, Wisconsin is not a wilderness. We have a major complaint over a sweetheart deal between a proposed public charter school, which is set to operate in a church. The school district in Madison, Wisconsin, has signed a letter of intent with Mount Olive Lutheran Church to operate Madison Preparatory Academy on Mineral Point Road. The property's been for sale since 2009, and the church has since moved to Whitney Way.
So representatives from the school have said that the plans include spending more than $1 million on improvements to the church property, in addition to monthly rent, and there has been no details on where this million would go, but the church itself is for sale for $1.4 million, so this is fiscal insanity. Why not buy the building?
Maybe we could buy the building.
No. The church's financial plans state the rent would be $12,600 per month for the first year, and then go up to nearly $24,000 per month for the second and third years. So at the end of 3 years, the charter school would be homeless, and the church would have received upwards in $725,000 in rent from our public coffers, in addition to the benefit of $1 million in improvements, no strings attached, with no further use or benefit to the taxpayers, unless, I suppose, we have to buy the church all over again, basically.
The fascinating wrinkle is that it appears Mount Olive has not upheld its duty to support Madison schools. The building reportedly has been vacant since 2009, yet city records show no taxes were paid during that time. FFRF has written a letter of complaint asking the city assessor to investigate and take action. Housing a public school in a church is wrong, and subsidizing permanent improvements to the church cannot happen on the taxpayers' dime.
In other news in the past week, FFRF has had some legal victories that we're happy to report. The school district in Paris, Texas, promised to end illegal school-sponsored religious messages at school assemblies after receiving a firm letter of objection from staff attorney Stephanie Smith on behalf of FFRF and on behalf of our complainant there.
Also in Texas, the school district in Texarkana has said it has stopped the distribution of Gideon Bibles on school campuses. That is a big no-no.
And prayers over the loudspeaker at high school football games have been stopped in Russellville, Alabama. It's one school district at a time. We do a lot of work, but in the past year, FFRF has halted many, many, maybe hundreds of such violations in schools in dozens of states. So congratulations to our legal team. What's coming up?
Well, we're going to hear a little bit about the free-thinking Ira Gershwin, the lyricist and composer. And then in the second half of today's show, we'll talk with journalist Jamila Bey about being a black woman atheist in America.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're co-directors of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation, working to keep state and church separate and to promote non-theism.
Ira Gershwin, a totally secular person and the lyricist, along with his brother George, of many of the favorite songs in the American Songbook. Although Ira Gershwin worked with many other songwriters, Ira Gershwin was born on December the 6th, 1896. So this is his birthday week.
And so in honor of him, we want to play the most irreverent of the collaborations between the brothers, which of course is the song from Porgy and Bess, It Ain't Necessarily So. It's been a while since we played this classic interpretation by Sammy Davis Jr.
It ain't necessarily so.
It ain't necessarily so.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Little David was small, but oh my.
David was small, but oh my.
He fought big Goliath, who lay down and died. Little David was small, but oh my. Wadu, Simbabalu, Scatabalida, Scattywa. Jonah, he lived in the whale. Little Moses was found in a stream.
Little Moses was found in a stream.
He floated on water till old Pharaoh's daughter, she fished him, she says, from that stream. Huh. Seven, live clean, don't have no fault. Oh, I take that gospel whenever it's possible, but with a grain of salt. Methuselah lived 900 years.
Methuselah lived 900 years.
But who calls that living when no gal will give in to one man what's 900 years?
I'm preaching this sermon to show it ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa.
That was Sammy Davis Jr. singing Ira Gershwin's lyrics.
I love how he laughs there at all these ludicrous ideas. Robert G. Ingersoll was the great agnostic of the 19th century. And our guest on the second half of today's show, Jamila Bey, entered a competition of oratory of Ingersoll. And here is Jamila Bey reading Ingersoll's What I Want for Christmas.
If I had the power to produce exactly what I want for next Christmas, I would have all the kings and emperors resign and allow the people to govern themselves. I would have all the nobility crop their titles and give their lands back to the people. I would have the Pope throw away his tiara, take off his sacred vestments, and admit that he's not acting for God, is not infallible, but is just an ordinary Italian. I would have all the cardinals, archbishops, bishops, and priests and clergymen admit that they know nothing about theology, nothing about hell or heaven, nothing about the destiny of the human race, nothing about devils or ghosts, gods or angels. I would have them tell all their flocks to think for themselves, to be manly men and womanly women, and to do all in their power to increase the sum of human happiness. I would have all the professors in colleges, all the teachers in schools of every kind, including those of Sunday schools, agree that they would just teach what they know. They would not palm off guesses as demonstrated truths. I would like to see all the politicians change to statesmen, to men who long to make their country great and free, to men who care more about the public good than private gain, men who long to be of use. I would like to see the editors of papers and magazines agree to print the truth and nothing but the truth, to avoid all slander and misrepresentation, and to let the private affairs of the people alone. I would like to see drunkenness and prohibition both abolished. I would like to see corporal punishment done away with in every home and every school and every asylum, reformatory, every prison. Cruelty hardens and degrades. Kindness reforms and ennobles. I would like to see the millionaires unite and form a trust for the public good. I would like to see a fair division of profits between capital and labor so that the toiler could save enough to mingle just a little June with the December of his life. I would like to see an international court established in which to settle disputes between nations so that armies could be disbanded and the great navies allowed to rust and rot in perfect peace. I would like to see the whole world free. Free from injustice, free from superstition. This will do for next Christmas. The following Christmas, I may want more. Thank you.
We'll be talking with, in just a couple of minutes, reading Robert G. Ingersoll's What I Want for Christmas. So stay tuned. We're going to talk with Jamila. She is has been a journalist for 10 years, freelance with NPR. And now she has a new job, which she'll talk about. And she is involved in organizing and in the movement of black atheists in America. And she's written a lot about what it's like to be a female black atheist in this country. So stay tuned for Jamila Bey.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Jamila Bey is a journalist and a comedian living in Washington, D.C. She was a freelance journalist for NPR for 10 years, and now I find out she's working for The Voice of Russia. That sounds interesting. We'll have to ask her about that. I met Jamila at a conference this summer with the Secular Student Alliance, but we were reminded of her because of the huge article that appeared in the Sunday New York Times, November the 27th, Sunday Styles, Sunday, November 27th, called The Unbelievers. African Americans who say they don't believe in God are a minority within a minority, often at odds with family, friends, potential romantic partners. And there's some great photographs of Jamila in the jump page of that. And so let's talk with her about this. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Jamila.
Thank you so much to you both for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
I saw a video clip of you. Was it the National Press Club? You were doing a comedy routine with Snuffles.
Yes, Funniest Journalist in D.C. competition. Three years I've been in that thing. I haven't won yet.
Oh, you haven't won? Well, it was funny. You were doing Snuffleupagus and Elmo and who else? you know, Big Bird was going to get axed or something. Well, you're very funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. What can I say? I love my public broadcasting.
Well, and then you don't know this, but earlier in today's show, excuse me, we played your oratory. You were in a contest, and you chose What I Want for Christmas by Robert Greene Ingersoll.
So, indeed. Isn't that a great one?
Yes. Yeah.
You said, maybe next year I'll ask for a little bit more. You know, that was funny. Yeah, you did a great job on that.
Now, what did you think of the New York Times article?
I thought it was a lovely piece full of people that I know. And truthfully, I think that I was left wanting one little piece. There wasn't really a story about any one of us, and all of us, I mean, everyone, every human being has a story, every human being has a good story, particularly in the hands of a skilled writer. But, for example, Ronell Adams telling his mother, you know, Mom, I'm gay, Mom, I'm an atheist, and she goes, oh, yeah, you're gay. How could you be an atheist? I wish that had been, you know, I know editors, and I know it's what I do. I know how you have to cut more than you leave in. I really wish there had been that. Other than that, I think it was well done, and I'm very happy that the way it came out. So, forgive me, I'm a bit of a critic. It is who I am. I would change it, but I kind of like me.
Well, I mean, story narrative is what everyone remembers, so I would agree. I also had a concern that the story seemed to minimize how many non-believers there are because it quoted the Pew statistics, you know, that...
Yeah, 1.6%, and that
identifies
number
atheists.
I take issue with that number for a number of reasons, but the primary being... when we don't identify atheist, agnostic, whatnot, the numbers diminish. When you ask someone, do you subscribe to a faith tradition? No. Do you have belief in a supernatural higher power? No. Do you pray and ask for any being to intercede on your behalf? No. And then you ask a person who looks as I do, who may identify as African-American or whatnot, chances are that person who answered yes to all of those questions is going to say, don't you call me an atheist.
Yeah, exactly. You could describe them as atheists, but they wouldn't use it as a label.
They wouldn't use the term.
Yeah.
They live that way. They believe in science. They believe in reason. They don't subscribe to religious tenets. And I'm not saying that only African Americans. We know that we've got a lot of people who think as we do who would never admit to being atheists because they don't want their businesses to tank or they don't want their spouse to leave them. And if they're younger than 18 or if they're or even a little older and are living at home, they don't want to be kicked out. Concerns that we deeply have to think about, you know. So we're always going to seem smaller than we are. I love the idea that, you know, considering that 16% of Americans are without religious tradition, without belief in a supernatural higher power. Now, some of those people are spiritual, and they believe that if they think on a crystal, it'll change the color of their hair or something. I don't know what it is. But, you know, not all of those are atheists, but a good bit of them are. So that's one of the reasons I'm happy for this piece. I think it helps to change the perception that coming out and saying, no, I'm without the belief in any supernaturalism. I don't believe in a divine creator who made gnats and mosquitoes and beauty. It's okay to say that. It's okay to be that. And there are people who you may not expect feel that way.
Well, and also the American Religious Identification Survey, which is definitive, doesn't say, are you an atheist? I mean, it asks that, but it also asks all those other questions, you know, you talked about. What are your actual beliefs? And that's showed that the 15 to 16% of U.S. adult Americans are non-religious, but it's at least 10% African-American. Mm-hmm. So it's not like 1.6%.
Yeah. Or 0.5. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Minorities.
You know, I love the idea that statistically I don't exist. I think that's really fun.
Now,
I'm gonna pull that out next time I'm interviewed for a census. I've got a decade, so we'll see.
So, Jamila, you thought the stories were a little bit missing from that New York Times article. Can you tell us your story?
I wish I had a really fun and interesting story. Mine is pretty straightforward. Christmas, I love Christmas. You know, we play Johnny Mathis, sleigh bells ring. You know, that's great. I noticed that my dad, who has the world's most distinct handwriting, his handwriting was the same as Santa's, and I was probably 4 at the time, and I was so proud of myself. I went to my parents. I said, you're Santa. I get it. Santa's not real. And they insisted, oh, no, he's real. He's real. Hmm. And I probably had a stronger reaction than most people, but it was my own, and I am entitled to it. And I thought, these people either think I'm stupid or they really, really are getting something from me believing in Santa. And it occurred to me, even at 4, that if I believed in Santa, it was really easy to tell me to be good or go to sleep or do whatever, because I thought Santa would not bring me anything. But I realized at that point that anybody who was going to tell me anything was going to have to prove it. You can't just say it and I believe you. And I have to admit, now, I'm not saying that everybody who tells their child that Santa Claus is real or the Tooth Fairy is real is going to have a kid who grows up like me and says, I don't trust anything my parents say anymore. Hmm. I tend to be a little extreme as a person, but it is who I am. But it really did make me feel that these people are diminishing who I am. They feel that I'm not capable of seeing through them making something up for their own benefit. And so when I went to school, and I went to Catholic schools with the exception of 3 years in middle school, even my university, I wanted to believe. I wanted to get it. I wanted to feel it. I would hear the singing and go, okay, well, that's just people singing. You know, I feel like that listening to Billy Joel, too. I was very active in the church, and I was picked when I was 14 years old to go overseas. I'm from Pittsburgh. I had never even been to Canada. My first time out of the country, I got on a plane and landed in Heathrow, and I went and was an exchange student in Swansea, Wales, representing the Diocese of Pittsburgh. I was a lector at a number of masses with luminaries. I taught, and I will take credit for this, I taught much of Black Catholic Pittsburgh how to say Anthony Bevilacqua when I was 7. Nobody knew how to say this new bishop's name, but we might know him now as being, he's over in Vatican City, but when he was just the Archbishop of Pittsburgh, nobody knew how to say his name, and I got to do a reading from the gospel, and I said his name and presented him with a card, and everybody went, oh, I guess that's how you say his name. And I was right.
Okay, but so, I've heard you say, though, that you considered yourself an atheist since the age of 6, and you said, I've been contrary my whole life. So you were a non-believer while you were doing these things.
I was. I felt like, you know what, if I do it and I figure it out, and I'll believe it. It will be, well, because I was always told, it will be revealed to you. Your faith must be strong. The Lord will speak to you. And I was like, okay, I hear voices in my head. They're all my own. Okay, God, anytime. And I knew enough to understand that I was not to question. I was not to say, this is fake. I thought it, but I knew not to share it. I knew I would have been beaten. I would have been dismissed. I would get thrown out of religion classes at 14, 15 years old for asking questions that I didn't even think at the time were anything profound. And it never really made sense to me. I did the fake it till you make it thing, but it never... I just realized, you know what, maybe it doesn't make sense because it's not real.
Well, we're going to come back and hear about your, I guess, your coming out story in this a second. I'm Annie Laura Geller with Dan Barker. We are talking with Jamila Bay, a journalist devoted to spreading the gospel of logic, reason, and science, she says, to all those who hear. We'll be back in a minute.
My name's Ed Clayton from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're continuing our conversation with Jamila Bay, the journalist. She worked for 10 years with NPR and is now working with The Voice of Russia. And I love what she says. She says, I've been contrary my whole life. And she says, I tend to fit in best when I'm with a group of misfits. So that's a funny line.
It's true. I was the girl who sat home every Friday night preparing her debate case to... number one, crush my opposition come Saturday, but also nobody would take me out. So, I'm a misfit, and I wear it proudly.
Now, you've written a piece called Black Women Who Use the A Word.
Yes,
what is
A-word.
That like?
Well, a little history. A few years back, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I decided that I was going to join a group for black atheists. I figured I couldn't be the only one. And I wound up 5 years ago writing a piece for Skeptic that chronicled my search. And I called that one Farthest Back in the Closet. I had never, until I went to a convention, shaken the hand of another black woman who would say that she was an atheist, even though I knew a number who don't pray, don't believe in a supernatural higher power, and if you ask them to tithe, they'll probably laugh at you. So when a year ago the Center for Inquiry, D.C., held a convention for African-American humanists, it was the largest gathering of black people who would use the word atheist that we can find, maybe ever, but it's the biggest we can find.
Was Ayanna Watson? You know Ayanna Watson. We've had her on our show.
Ayanna is wonderful, and I think she is doing Reason's work, and I am thankful to her. She's the founder and president of Black Atheists of America, and she gets some flack because people say, oh, well, you know, why are you separating based on the color of skin? I thought segregation was bad. And it speaks exactly to the article I wrote for The Root, Black Women Who Use the A Word. You have to look at this as an issue of culture as opposed to an issue of mere skin color. It's not about, we dark people want to be together. It's that there are some of us who share a common history, common culture, and ours is particularly religious. Whether or not we wish it to be, it is so. And when we get together and say, I am not going to sing any spirituals, or I'm not going to talk about the role that Jesus plays in my life, we literally lose our families sometimes. We certainly have to be careful in our workplaces, and we certainly don't get to see each other who look like we do and feel the same way. So this piece I wrote was my rejoicing. You know, we can't let one side have that word because it's such a great one. Mm-hmm. But it was my rejoicing and being able to find other people who were like me, who said, I never thought that another black woman would say that she was an atheist. I've never embraced another black woman who doesn't buy it. This is awesome. And we had a wonderful time, and it was a highlight of my year last year. And I got hundreds of emails of people who told me, I think like you, I feel like you, I'll never say it out loud for these reasons, which is another reason why I feel like, okay, if there are 300 people who emailed me to say, I think like you, I'm not going to say it, how many just wouldn't send the email? How many wouldn't send me a note through Facebook?
Well, and here's another thing that I thought, it was a great article. I loved the New York Times. It was very exciting because I didn't know it was coming out to see it in the Sunday paper. But I thought it would have been nice if there had been some historic references as well, because there have been so many famous African-Americans who are non-religious. I mean,
Norm Allen's book. Norm Allen has some books out that document Du Bois and many of the others. So.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm here in Washington, D.C., and Butterfly McQueen,
right,
who I believe was a Howard University. I think she was a Howard U graduate, the historically black college, well, now it's a university in Washington, D.C. They had her Oscar award. She was the first black woman to win an Oscar. And her statement is, as my ancestors are free from
slavery,
I am free from the tyranny of religion.
She gave that statement.
People don't know that.
Right. She gave that statement to the Atlanta Constitution on the 60th anniversary of Gone with the Wind, when we gave her a Free Thought Heroine Award because she was a lifetime member of FFRF. She came and spoke, and Dan got to accompany her on the piano.
Yeah, she's
saying. And they interviewed her about it.
She's saying It's Only a Paper Moon by the free-thinking lyricist Diop Harbury. That was a fun time.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, it just seems like there's a rich heritage, even in state church separation activists like Alton Lemon, the Lemon Test, Ernie Chambers.
Yeah, and Ishmael Jaffrey.
Right. And so, but I guess that'll have to be another New York Times article.
It will have to be, and I am working on a book right now that considers these things and talks about the mislabeling of the so-called civil rights movement here in the U.S. as a religious one. It wasn't a religious one, but that's for another show.
Well, it sounds like a great book, though.
It's in progress. It's in progress. I'm working on it as we speak. So
because that is the big issue you keep running into, you know, that conflict connecting religion to the civil rights movement. And
because the churches were a convenient meeting place.
Well, we're a shelter.
Yeah.
Indeed. And what's the easiest way to get a community together where you can identify everyone?
Yeah.
Go to church. Everybody knows everybody. If there's somebody nobody can identify, you actually do the prayer service and don't talk about the issues at hand.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, we'll come back next week. You know, nobody can infiltrate when everybody knows who everyone else is.
Now, we've only got I'm sorry.
We have about one minute left.
You know me, I'll talk forever.
We only have about a minute left, but we didn't find out about your new job working for, what's it called?
The Voice of Russia Radio.
Yeah.
We're on in New York and D.C., AM 1430 in New York, AM 1390 in Washington, D.C., and we cover news, and we cover Russia extensively. We're all English language, and every Monday I host a show called Sparring with Jamila. That's the Sex, Politics, and Religion Hour.
Aha, uh-huh. So you are a godless Russian after all, huh?
Duh. You caught me.
Niet.
What's it called again?
My show is Sparring with Jamila, the Sex, Politics, and Religion Hour, and that's Monday evening, 6 Eastern Time, also on the web.
Sounds really fun.
Thank you so much
for joining us and for speaking out.
Thank you for having me. We've been talking with journalist Jamila Bey. We also want to thank Dave McCann, who is our engineer and producer, our announcer, Buzz Kemper. This show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio for details.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. We encourage you to join us, to support us, to become a member. 10 issues of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, 24 pages. And the November issue's out. You can get a sample at ffrf.org. And tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday